Ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls, children of all ages, here we go. It's your 1973 podcast, and it's your Fave Five, like back in the day. It's the old school 80s party line. But more updated. So we're gonna get right into it like we do, and we're gonna get into some movie talk. I hope that this is one of our new favorite things to do, because I've enjoyed the past couple weeks. And before we get into it with Ed, Brad, what was your pick last week? You weren't in attendance, but the pick of the movie was
Oh, Rogue One,
Rogue
Star
One.
Wars story.
Okay, so Ed, take us to it.
Hey, the podcast fans, are you ready to show off your love for the 1973 podcast? We've got over 20 different designs of t-shirts and hoodies that capture the essence of classic stuff. Whether you're a fan of the show or just love that retro feel, we got something for everyone. From bold prints to subtle nods to your favorite personalities, each piece is made with top-notch
Top
quality.
notch.
And that's timeless, top-notch to the top. And that timeless style you crave, perfect for lounging at home or making a stay out and about. And don't wait, our collection is flying. I mean, we're talking flying off the shelves. Don't be cheap, buy a shirt. Visit us now at bonfire.com and grab your favorites before they're gone. And also check us out at the 1973 Podcast T-shirt store on YouTube. Just click the link below. All right.
So, all right, before we get into it, I want to bring up something that came about when Brad was here last week talking about Rogue One. Tom said you picked it because when I put you on the spot was on TNT at that moment. Is that why you picked it, Brad?
The movie was on TNT?
Yeah.
Yeah. What is TNT?
What AEW comes on, if you can find that channel.
Oh, yeah, I don't even have cable. I picked Rogue One because it's the greatest Star Wars movie ever made,
Oh,
and it's
oh.
severely underrated, and not a lot of people want to even know about it.
Oh, Brad, I get a little bit. I don't usually get heartburn, but
I said it.
get a little bit of heartburn on that
I
statement.
said
So
it.
I'm gonna.
I said it. Woo!
Hey, I gotta go take off the jeans and put on the jogger pants for this one. Hold
I said it.
on.
I
Hold on
said
now.
it.
Hold on, Brad. But when we get into this movie talk, we've been on point. Don't disappoint me. With statements like that, I'm getting worried. I know you're the youngest member on this
Oh,
group, but
no.
hold on. We're gonna go with the professor first. We're gonna take everybody take a deep breath. Sing Kumbaya. Thomas,
Ooh.
we're gonna let you give your review of Star Wars Rogue One. Take it away.
Well, first of all, just from his comment saying it was best one ever, I'm dropping a point off of what my score is gonna be right there. But I thought it was good, but the cast I thought was really good because it was a lot of, I won't say unknowns, but I mean, I don't think Diego Luna had been in much beforehand. But I thought the plot, I mean, it was predictable. You knew what was going to happen because, I mean, if you follow all the other Star Wars, it was predictable. But I mean, I'm going to give it a 6
Ooh.
9 because I
I'll
got
allow
it wasn't as good as the other
it.
movies we had.
69, I'll allow it.
But I'll be honest, I was watching first time I watched it, I was on a plane coming home from Disney, so this might have ruined the movie for me a little bit. I had this little punk ass kid sitting behind me, just wouldn't shut up and kept kicking the seat, and so I was already getting aggravated before I even started watching the movie. But my biggest take was, I mean, I knew it was going to happen. It was predictable. It's like the spoilers. So, I mean, that was my take. And Andy's froze again.
Oh,
Oh,
Jesus.
I can see you guys. I can hear everything. Don't worry about it.
Oh, he's back.
Xfinity sent me a new tower this week, and I set that thing up, and it's bad. The bandwidth is terrible on it. So we'll just deal with it. Brad, go
Okay,
ahead.
Netflix, whatever you say.
Ahead, Brad.
Is it my turn to rate this movie?
Yeah.
How much time do we have, fellas, to talk about Rogue One?
Let's go.
So, first of all, Tom, you said relatively unknown cast. Yes, you are correct. This was when Disney first bought the Star Wars franchise. We got The Force Awakens, then we got a large catalog of movies that they were gonna make.
Then Kathleen Kennedy and Disney went and got woke and lost their ever loving fucking minds, and they started cramming. And they sucked. They all sucked. Disney and Star Wars haven't made anything good except The Force Awakens, which was just a repeat of A New Hope, and then Rogue One, A Star Wars Story. This movie was incredible. The director, Gareth Edwards, hasn't done shit before or since he made this movie, by the way. So this movie was so good, it was released with zero fanfare, zero marketing, zero toys, zero merch. The only hint we got of this movie was like a, it was like a still photo of like some soldiers sitting on the beach. I mean, everybody thought it was like a World War II movie. It was released at a Comic-Con and that spread across the internet, but we didn't get anything of this movie. All we knew was they were stealing the Death Star plans, but we all know how that happened because we've all seen the original trilogy. We all know that they died stealing it. So we already knew the plot, right? So Disney was like, hey, fuck it. People aren't going to go see this movie. Let's just throw this out here. We'll get Diego Luna. I forget her name that plays Jyn Erso. Crooked Eye, Forrest Whitaker. We just throw these dudes out here and we're just going to put a movie out. It wound up being Star Wars gold. And this is why. If you're deep into the lore, for normies, it's just a movie, man. If you're a normie and you don't know the backstory, you never read the books, if you didn't watch Clone Wars or Rebels, if you didn't watch the prequels and Die Hard, like dissected the prequels and bitched about them until you hated them, until you loved them, and then watched the original trilogy back again at least 100 times, then when you went to watch this movie, you don't get it, right? You're a normie. You don't fucking get it. If you're a Star Wars fan, this movie gave us all the nostalgia of A New Hope. It connected the prequels to the original trilogy. We were missing that. We didn't have that shit. This movie connected Revenge of the Sith to A New Hope, all right? There's a large gap in time frame, but it connected them. Did you guys watch the Clone Wars cartoon?
Nope.
If you did, then you know that this movie connected Clone Wars to the Star Wars cinematic universe and Saw Gerrera. He was in the Clone Wars. He was in the Rebels cartoon. Did you guys watch the Rebels cartoon?
No.
No, then you're missing out on like 60% of the fucking movie. This movie had so many Easter eggs from the Rebels cartoon, and it connected. So it connected the prequels, Clone Wars, Rebels cartoon, and it tons of Easter eggs and lore into this movie with relative unknown people, and it wound up being a masterpiece of a movie. It wound up being like a World War II, Band of Brothers, La Resistance versus the Nazis type shit was going down in this movie. So many different storylines. K2SO, the most lovable droid in the entire franchise. And look, you got to think this was before Mandalorian and all these other shows were coming out. All we had was this. And what came after this was The Last Jedi, which fucking sucked. All right? So the movie as a whole, absolutely incredible. Saw Gerrera, such a dynamic character. Was he a good guy? Was he a bad guy? Was he a terrorist? We don't know. He was so whacked out in the end that he died doing, I guess, what he loved. I give this movie a solid 10. Do I got to bring up the Vader fucking lightsaber scene at the end? The most epic lightsaber battle we've ever gotten. And they've tried to repeat it. This lightsaber scene was so incredible where he's just murking rebel soldiers left and right. They tried to recreate it with Luke Skywalker and the Mandalorian. Then when they brought back the Clone Wars for one final season on Disney Plus, they did it with Darth Maul. He had a hallway scene. Hallway scene, epic, go down in history. This movie was absolutely incredible. I give it a 10. I give it a 20 if I could. Best Star Wars movie, in my opinion. Look, and I love Empire Strikes Back. That would be my top film. This movie, just a notch above. And because this movie was so incredible, we got Andor the series. Have you guys watched Andor the series?
No.
Mm-mm. Oh my God. We can't even have a conversation. I can't even talk to you then. That show, look, blows Boba Fett, Obi-Wan, Mandalorian, Ahsoka out the water. They're hot garbage compared to Andor. Andor is in Rogue One together. Like, that's the way Star Wars needs to go. This woke bullshit agenda pushing bullshit they keep trying to shove down our throats. Stop with the bullshit. Take Rogue One and Andor. That needs to be the new Star Wars universe right there. And like season one of Mandalorian. Fuck all that other shit. Don't watch it.
Brad, so what you're saying is you like the movie.
Bro, it is hands. Not only is it my favorite Star Wars movie, it was one of my favorite movies of all time. I love that movie. It's incredible. I'll die on that. I will fucking die on that.
Bradford, I don't know who I can kick this to kind of piggyback off
No, I should have went last.
of that, but we can talk about so much stuff. I mean, being with a group of guys that probably in 1977 all saw that movie in the theater, unless you
Yeah.
were like on another planet.
I was
That
in my daddy's nutsack.
I was 4 years old, so yeah, no, I wasn't going to the movies.
Oh, that just that whole Star Wars lore for our age group was huge, and I think that those years that George Lucas laxed in the, keeping the trilogy going with, stupid animated series like Droids and things like that. And there's such a big gap in between in the timeline. It's tough to look back on that stuff and not pick it all apart, for different reasons, maybe being a little fickle or whatever. But thing I like about this movie to add to, I'm not going to rate it as high as Brad, but it is my favorite standalone Star Wars movie. Out of all of them, I even like it better than the prequels and the newer movies. As far as out of the original trilogy, I probably wouldn't rate it as high, but I did like how Peter Cushing, they CGI'd the character in there of Grandma talking, right?
That was okay.
I liked how they added Leia at the end. When
That
I
was
saw it
weird.
in the theater, I thought that
Yeah,
was really good. It's pretty much seamless right into the start of A New Hope. So great stuff. Does it still, for me, does it still hold up if you watch it? Yeah. Does it still, is it quotable? Not really. But is the story pretty kick-ass? Yeah, even though that you knew what the story was, but it gave classic Star Wars fans something that, they always kind of wanted with maybe what the trilogies you thought you were going to get, where you really didn't get the prequels. So my score on it, just rewatching it and watching it, is 8-1 for me. I base that with future considerations on some of the other movies if they come up in rotation. So 8-1, favorite standalone Star Wars movie. Ed, you're on deck.
So Ryan's going next, because if I'm
No,
on deck, then
you're up. You're up.
I'm up. Okay. Get your baseball stuff correct, man. No, I first and foremost, I haven't seen it in a long time. I watched it again. It's entertaining. It flows nicely, doesn't really slow down very much. The story's good, it's predictable. But overall, it's a good movie. I mean, do I put it up there with the originals? No. Do I think it's the best movie of all times? No. And then I'm gonna go and then to use one of Brad's favorite lines. First of all, Brad, they've been pushing agendas in these movies since Jedi, just and that type of thing, with characters and that type of thing on trying to make everybody like hold hands and sing Kumbaya. So there is that. And I do resemble the fact that I am a normie. I'm not that deep into it. But I can appreciate the fact that, man, they're great entertaining movies. I'll give it a 7.
Rookie score. Go ahead. You got that down, Tom? You got the scores a 10, a 7, and an
Yep.
8.1.
Well, I mean, what I really should have done was given it a 4 to bring that 10 down, so it would actually.
Well, that's why I figured out, that's why I went with 6.9, because I had to make it a little more even.
Right. So
It's not quotable, but does it stand the test of time? Of course it does.
So
yeah.
a movie being quotable, that's y'all's scale of what a good movie is.
Well, I mean, it does hold a lot of weight when you can kind of keep the fire burning with nostalgia of quoting the movie, like you
The
know.
whole movie was nostalgic. It was basically a reprint of the original trilogy, but in modern times.
Listen, we're not shitting on it. It's just not a 10.
Bro, how's it not a 10? There is a scene when they order the Hammerhead Corvettes to ram the Star Destroyers and turn them so they will crash and break through that space shield. They stole those Hammerhead Corvettes from Rebels the cartoon. Leia, Princess Leia, helped steal those. I can't even talk to y'all right now.
Well, you know what? That's the Creed talking. Ryan, take it away. Save us. You're our only hope.
Brad, I hate when you hold back on us and don't say what you really think. I'm baffled. This is also my favorite Disney Star Wars movie. I can't run with the tens. I can't do that. But
Yeah, you can. Yes, you can. I believe in you.
the best part about it, like a solid prequel, is how seamless it is into what you already know. You gotta get that part right, because if you already know the part in the movie that you already know, they don't really need to tell you about, but they gotta kind of hint around to it just to keep the story flowing. I thought they did a great job with that. I think like the last hour of the movie is like fantastic. The battle scenes, the whole story, the Vader part in the hallway is fantastic. I'm coming in slightly lower than Brad, slightly lower. 8.2. It's funny, I was dialed in on 8.1. Andy said it, so I'll bump it up one. But no, it's in my top five Star Wars movies. Well, it can't creep into the top three for me.
So what we're gonna do is we're gonna check it to the Phantom for next week's movie pick. We gotta put them on a spot. That's why I saved them for last. What's that pick for next week?
I'm gonna go. Because now that we're pushing the tents, yeah, I'll go Shawshank Redemption.
Oh, okay.
A true.
Ooh. Brad, have you seen that movie?
Many times,
Okay.
many times. It's
Okay.
Stephen King book too, isn't it? No, that
Yeah.
was The Green Mile. Oh, no, Shawshank was.
Yep.
Yep.
Both
Isn't
of them.
it? Yeah.
Yep. They were short stories,
Yeah.
right? You know, he put out a few books there, like Skeleton Key and stuff like that. Short stories.
Yeah.
Yep.
Yeah,
So,
before
yeah.
Stephen King was a woke.
Yeah. He's
Yeah.
from Maine. Leave him alone.
Yeah.
Brad, word of the night is woke.
Yeah.
It's only been, I'm glad we're not drinking every time he says it because I'd be already on the floor.
Yeah.
Great movie. Also on TBS quite a lot there, Thomas. You'll probably catch it this week, probably in the afternoon where the old people watch TV. So yeah, Shawshank for next week. But staying on the Star Wars theme, Brad, real quick, what is your favorite Star Wars show so far?
Show that
Yeah,
Disney's
like,
put out?
yep, Mandalorian or Book of Boba Fett, Ahsoka. What's your favorite one?
So, Book of Boba Fett was fucking stupid. Ahsoka had like one good scene. Obi-Wan had one good scene. Mandalorian had like one good season. My favorite TV show that they put out is Andor. It's fucking incredible.
Okay. All right. There you go. You have spoken. It's not a 10, though, is it?
Andor, bro, it's good. I would say of the Star Wars shows they put out, it's a 10. Like there's no agenda pushing. It's a dark, gritty show. That's it.
Okay. All
And
right.
that's it.
Cool.
It's a good show.
Homework for you. Watch the Penguin.
Definitely.
Yep. Thomas?
I got the final score was 8.04.
That's too low.
8.04. Okay, so solid 8, right? All the way
Yeah,
around?
we got
Yeah,
to pump those numbers
what
up.
did we do for old school, by the way?
What's that?
What did we do for old school?
7-9. See?
Hmm.
8. But in the beginning, like I was saying before, Brad, came on, of course we're going to all pick, you know, movies that are kind of like-minded at the beginning, but it's when it gets into those, you know, B-level movies or whatever, that's when you're going to see some arguing. And then you can't give, you know, everything a 10, Brad. Rookie score.
I wish I had him in high school for a teacher or something, man. I'd have been on the honor roll.
Bro, I don't give 10s out lightly. Rogue One is a 10. Hands down. You got to get into the lore, dude. Got to watch the cartoons and the shows and see it's all connected. When you saw Chopper slide through the background in Rogue One, did you not get excited? When they called for Syndulla over the intercom, when they were getting ready to go attack, did you not get that? So many Easter eggs, man. If you don't know the lore, you're not going to enjoy the movie. That's all it is, man.
We were trying to bang chicks while you were watching cartoons. We're older than you.
I mean, I can't argue that. I was
acknowledge it. So next week, Shawshank. So final score for Rogue One, solid 8. Not bad. Not bad.
Nope.
We had to knock it down a couple pegs there, Brad. So, yeah, Penguin for homework, Shawshank for homework. And, Brad, before we move on to other stuff, you want to fill us in on any wrestling stuff because you were missed last week?
Yeah, I know. I'm glad to be back. I had to go to the most awesome concert of my life. Had to go see Creed. It was incredible. If you haven't seen them, highly recommend it. As far as wrestling, I just feel like we're kind of like in this this hold pattern until we get to either the Road to WrestleMania and or Netflix, because hasn't been that exciting. I think the transition of Raw going to 2 hours kind of sucks because they have so much talent that now they're plugging that talent in on SmackDown. Because now SmackDown is 3 hours, so they're like sprinkling in like these surprise appearances from Raw to SmackDown. The Bloodline story is getting, you know, really hot right now. They're catching a lot of heat. We don't know. People are speculating. Is Brock Lesnar going to show up? Is he going to join this match at Survivor Series? I think Bronson Reed came out on SmackDown to be the fifth for the new OG, and I know Bronson Reed had alluded in the past, like, why am I not a part of the Bloodline story? He is actually from Samoa. Like, you know, his big ass has actually lived it. Everyone else is just Samoan lineage living in America. So, I don't know. That's kind of weird, him just joining the Bloodline, like, out of the blue. I was expecting another family member of the Rocks to show up, you know. I don't know. Nia Jax, for God's sakes, is part of the fucking Bloodline. Like, she could have joined up. But we'll see, man. I think Monday night we're going to see who the OG Bloodline is going to get. Some people say Brock Lesnar. I say it's going to be Seth Rollins.
Oh, hopefully after Survivor Series we can get Knuckles back on for a Survivor Series podcast and get that going. So,
did you catch the part at the end, Brad, when Roman Reigns was trying to call Paul Heyman?
Yeah, and the phone didn't. It was disconnected. I don't know what they're – because Paul Heyman's been gone. I don't know where they're going with that. I don't – look, the heat that is on Vince McMahon and Brock Lesnar's name being in all – I don't see them bringing Brock Lesnar back. Not in the middle. Not when this case has been moved to, like, an FBI federal investigation. And Lesnar being one of the named subjects, they're not going to bring him back on TV. I don't know. Maybe that means Paul Heyman is flipping sides. CM Punk. I don't know.
I think they're going to try to force the Seth Rollins Roman reconnection.
Yeah, I don't.
He's already feuding with the other guy. They kind of asked him. Yeah. Now that they bring him in, now he's going to be forced in. It's kind of stupid. I don't like it.
So they pre-taped this coming episode because of the upcoming holidays, and it's been leaked. I don't want to spoil it, though.
Don't spoil it.
I'm
don't
not.
Be that guy. Don't be Eric Bischoff from WCW.
No, it's. It. But just don't be too excited.
Okay. All right. So speaking of getting excited, I didn't have a chance to watch this, but let's talk the Mike Tyson fight.
Oh, jeez.
Ed, thoughts on the Mike Tyson fight, seeing that you didn't weigh in with the wrestling?
One of the biggest money grabs you could possibly ever have. What a bunch of suckers we all are. Man, $60 million payout, and then to have all that buffering, and then, I don't know, kind of seemed like there was a little bit of a fix in there because, let's see, Jake Paul threw about, what, 200 and something punches and landed like 90-something of them, and Tyson only threw like 97 and only landed like, what, 18 or 20 or something like that. I'm going to say, well, well, well. And then you toss in the old humiliation in there, too, on top of it. Seems a little weird to me. And then, oh, and all the buffering that everybody was complaining about. Yeah, that too. Well, well, well. But, you know, I mean, I'm just glad that Tyson really didn't get embarrassed just because he is one of the greatest as far as in our lifetime of boxing, because boxing kind of like went out. But he really was the one that, I mean, he had all of his glued to the TVs, you know, back in the late 80s and 90s, you know.
Mike Tyson punch out, Ed.
That too. That too. How many times in my basement did we play that, Andy?
Oh, punch out, right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, be specific.
That's punch out, not punch the clown, right?
Yeah.
I knew that was coming. I was trying to set it up so you guys could spike that. Anyways, yeah, before we were on the air, I was talking about how I had seen some conspiracy theory, how somebody had come across a, I don't know if it was Wikipedia or a Google thing, where it had said 4 days before the fight that Jake Paul was going to win in like the 10th round or something like that, and it ended up being him in the 9th round. So, you know, if there was any fixable stuff, I mean, you know, that boxing world is no different from the wrestling world sometimes. Phantom, thoughts on the fight?
Yeah, it was pretty bad. I was falling into it when they were showing the Mike training sessions, and he was moving around pretty good. And I was like, I was saying before we went on, you see him come out for the weigh-in. He gets out of like a car. He's kind of got him walking up a little walk-in, kind of walking up the ramp. Dude's moving like he's Joe Biden. Like, he's like, guy can't even take a step. I'm like, what? I'm like, yeah, this don't look good. Then as soon as he comes out to stop fighting, I'm like, this is going to happen. But now, I'm not sure. Did Jake take it easy on him just because of how bad he was in there and he just didn't want to take him out? Or was it just like, you know, a wink, wink, like, hey, I won't knock you out. You won't knock me out. We'll just go to the end and we'll all cash in this dough, or I don't know. It was a farce. But I'll tell you what, that fight didn't start till so late. If you happen to, like, you know, anybody else that kind of like tried to jump in around 11, see what's going on, there was a girl fight between Katie Taylor and Amanda Serrano. It was one of the best boxing matches that I've ever seen in my life. While, like, on here, we like to give the women's wrestling shit. This thing was straight toe to toe. One chick was fighting mad dirty. She's like headbutting the chick every time they get close. Her eye was hanging off.
That it was
like for like six rounds, dude. Like, she's just gushing. What a warrior! What a fight! They should have fucking just canceled the main event after those two came on, because there was no beating them. They stole the show.
So you're saying it was like Ricky Steamboat and Randy Savage at WrestleMania 3 compared to
it was like Rogue One. It was a 10. It was like fantastic. Over here. That shit had me fired up just to have a wet fart after it was over.
So what you're saying is you're really, really into women's boxing lore.
Yes, absolutely.
Oh, fuck you guys.
Thoughts on the fight.
I'm glad I didn't get it, because I'd be pissed to watch 16 minutes of shadow boxing. From what I hear, that's about all it was. But Netflix got what they wanted. I read tonight that they're estimated that 65 million people that got it legit and didn't, not like the Phantom said, didn't steal it. 65 million people actually legit had it. So, but I mean, what we expect? It's Tyson. Even when he was still boxing, he lost his last two fights, so we kind of knew he wasn't what he was. And I'd like to remember him back when I used to bitch and moan when I'd pay $45 for a pay-per-view when the fight would last 10 seconds. I mean, so I can't complain too much, but I mean, I agree with Ryan. From everything I've read online, the women's fight was the fight of the night. That's what I actually had a friend of mine from high school flew down there for the fight, and that's all they wanted to talk about online today was that women's fight. They didn't want to even talk about the Tyson fight.
I heard a few people wanted to talk about the Ringcon girls too that were in the back of the.
Another good movie, Wax On, Wax Off.
Yeah, that's coming too, right?
They were in the crowd.
I saw that. Last but not least, we're going to save them for last. Fan club member number one of Creed, Bradford Marcellus Noble.
Look, I didn't get to watch it because when I tuned in, my Netflix just kept buffering at like 60%. And I was like, I got time for this bullshit. But who in their right mind thought this was not a fixed fight? Every Jake Paul fight has been fixed. And it's like every time he fights somebody, some way past their prime boxer, or he'll fight some UFC, somebody who's, you know, past their prime in UFC, but they're grappling or kickboxing, and you make them stand up box and they don't stand a chance. Because here's the thing, Jake Paul can fight. He can box, but he fixes these fights because it's a fucking payday. The whole script got leaked before this match that said the longer Tyson went, like if he knocked Paul out in the first round, he got paid zilch, $0. But if round to round, it was on a sliding scale. So if he went the whole night, I think he was only supposed to go 8 rounds, right? Two rounds. So if he went all 8 rounds, he was going to make the most money. So that's all it was. Yeah, we saw the fight, the training fights, right? Or the training for Tyson. He looked like he was going to crush anybody that got in that ring. And then when you go watch this fight, he was like old man boxing. So I'm like, what happened here? Did he go snort a line and then hop in and do his training videos? Because he was killing the dude, his sparring partners. So that's Jake Paul, man. We cannot think that Jake Paul is legitimately having a boxing match.
He's a great marketer. That's what he is.
That's it, man. He is an athlete. Just like Logan Paul, they're athletes. Yeah. And they market what they can do. They market their talents. And that's it, man. And if you think that's a real fight, man, fuck, I got some oceanfront property in Arizona, right? I'll fucking sell you some. It's not a real fight. It's supposed to be like that. It's a money-making grab. But if that shit happened with the Tyson fight, what are they going to do? I think they're hosting an NFL game on Christmas, right? Netflix? What are they going to do with that? What are they going to do with wrestling? I mean, a lot of people fucking watch wrestling. There's the real fans and the closet fans. A lot of people are going to tune in. If I tune in on Monday night and I get the big buffering ring of death, I'm going to be pissed.
You sure?
I'm going to be mad.
You going to be like Creed mad?
No, Creed doesn't get mad. Creed is a spiritual journey through music, buddy. That's the only thing that's going to calm me down if y'all didn't rate Rogue One a 10. I'm going to go listen to Creed and wake the neighbors up. You guys did this. You did this.
Oh, boy. Thomas, I think it's time for some sports talk. Let's get some rolling with some shit-hay picks.
All right. Let me see here. Grab my note. Tom Shitty Picks is brought to you by Brock Street Brewing Company, located at 244 Brock Street South in Whitby, Ontario. Everything is brewed in-house, including their hard iced teas, their beers, vodka sodas, and their hard seltzers. So if you're in the Whippy area, go check them out and tell them the 1973 podcast sent you. All right. Well, this past week, I picked Tennessee over Georgia. Right now, it's tied 17-17 at halftime. It's a great game. Georgia's starting running backs out. He's not playing tonight, so hopefully my pick will come through. Tennessee will take it through, but the quarterback is just coming off a concussion, so hopefully he's okay and he can finish the game here. This coming week, not too many good games. I'm going to go with Indiana is, I believe, the fifth ranked team. They're playing against number two Ohio State. Indiana hasn't played anyone all year. I know you can only play who's on your schedule. I think Ohio State rolls them this week. I think Indiana is good, but they're in, this is a separate class. I think Ohio State's only weakness is the quarterback's brain, because they would be undefeated if he wasn't stupid against Oregon. So that's my pick, AC, going with Ohio State.
All right. So what we usually do is, due to protest from Creed Nation, we cut the football picks down to five a week, because somebody gets long-winded, and we're going to go with Tom's five picks after he says who's in first place. Hopefully it's me still.
You haven't been in first place for like 4 weeks, brother.
Stop it.
I gotta go with Brad's method of just taking home teams because it's working for him. I mean,
Is it because it's fixed?
Might be. Brad went 10-4 this past week, and everybody else in the pool went 9-5. So the standings right now, Brad is 106-46. Andy's 103-49. Phantom is 102-50. Ed is 152. I'm 98-54, and Shaggy is 87-42. So this week, there's like three good games at week 12. The other two, I think they're going to be good games. They're just against some crappy teams. So first game of the week, San Francisco 49ers against the Green Bay Packers in Green Bay. Andy.
Well, I told you the Packers are going to the Super Bowl, and they're home, so I'll take them.
All righty. Phantom.
I'll go Packers.
All righty. Ed.
I'll go with the Niners.
Okay. Oh. Brad.
It's hard to go against Green Bay at home, and especially with weather turning and whatnot, so I'll go Green Bay.
I'm going with San Francisco. I think McCaffrey will be the difference in the game.
I can. All right,
next game, I'm going to go Baltimore Ravens against the L.A. Chargers in L.A. Andy.
Who's home?
The Chargers.
Well, I'll take the Ravens.
All righty. Phantom.
I'm hoping the Ravens can take me higher. I need to catch up to Brad.
Ed?
Going with the Ravens, even though the Chargers are a good team.
All righty. Mr. Creed.
Y'all are going to think I'm just picking the same team as Andy, but I was already going to say the Ravens.
All righty. It's a clean sweep. I'm going with the Ravens, but I wouldn't be surprised if the Chargers win this game. Baltimore plays to their competition, it seems, and their defense is a little hurting right now with their safety.
Oh, yeah, their defense kind of sucks right now.
Well, maybe they just need to run the ball more.
Yes, that is true.
Third game, Philadelphia Eagles traveling to Los Angeles playing the Rams. Andy.
I'm going to take the Eagles because when they're with me, I'm free.
All righty. Mr. Phantom.
I'll take the Eagles as well.
All righty. Ed?
Even though Ron Jaworski's not walking out that door, I'm going to go with the Eagles.
All righty. Mr. Creed.
Man, I hate saying this team, and it's like it's my sacrifice. I just got to say it, man. It kills me, tears me up. I'm torn. But with arms wide open, I got to say – the Eagles. They've been playing since the bye week. Their defense has been lights out. So, Eagles. Fucking Eagles, man. Also, that was three Creed references.
Yeah, you stole my line. I was going to go with the eyes, with the arms wide open line, but
I gave three Creed songs in that.
I'm going to go with the Rams in this game. I think the offense will start. They played like crap last week. I think the offense will start going a little bit stronger, and they got a pretty good running game and a really good passing game. I think Nacua will have a big game in that.
Yeah, as long as he doesn't throw a punch.
Yes. Mm. All right, next game, the Arizona Cardinals traveling to Seattle playing the Seahawks. Andy.
Seagulls.
All righty. Branko?
Go Cards.
All righty. Ed?
That's a pick'em game. Arizona's been playing really well, and Murray's been playing really, really well this year. But I'm going with Seattle.
All righty. Brad?
Like what Ed said, could go either way. So I'm going to pick Arizona.
All righty. I'm going with Seattle. I think they're due to win a couple of games here. DK Metcalf's coming back.
Mm.
All right. Final game. Kind of a shitty game, but eh. New England Patriots traveling to Miami playing the Dolphins. Andy.
Oh, a rematch of the Snow Bowl. 85 all over again. Let's go. I'll take the fish.
All righty. Ryan?
I'll go one last breath and go Miami Dolphins.
All righty. Ed?
I'm going to go regrettably with the Patriots just because they've been playing better. Miami is not the Bears. So I don't think they're going to wind up getting 9 sacks this time. But with Tua back, Miami's a much better team.
Brad?
Yeah, I mean, I hope the team can take Tua just a little bit higher because that dude is one concussion away from being done. But, yeah, I'm going to pick Miami in this one.
All righty. You know, what if the Patriots win? I'm going with the Patriots.
Drake May is playing pretty good.
And Drake we trust.
Yeah, he's doing pretty well. I'm just saying.
All right, AC, that's it.
Well, I'm torn with what we're doing next. So, Bradford, I hope you got some tinfoil hat on for this week because you missed your segment last week. So you got something?
We got a little bit. Okay. Are y'all going to, like, do an intro or we just cut right to it?
Thomas, let's do some tinfoil hat for this mofo that can't show up every week anymore.
All righty. Brad's tinfoil hat conspiracy of the week. This week is brought to you by the book Loving Elliot, a fitting tribute to undying love, written by our very own Andy Clark. It's available on Amazon.com. Elliot was the oldest special needs Jack Russell Terrier when he passed away at the age of 21.
Go ahead, Brad.
Well, I was really hoping Scotty Too Hottie would show up since he fact-checked me in the group chat. Talk about you guys need to do some research. Like, listen, dog, it's a conspiracy theory for a reason. There's zero research goes into this. I ain't got all the time in the world to go fact-check this stuff. If I did, there wouldn't be no conspiracy theories because it'd all be proven wrong.
Just for the record, but Brad, before you get into it, just for the record, allegedly, you said fact check, not fact check, right?
Fact checked.
Okay.
Fact.
Yeah. All right. Okay. Just checking.
I'm out.
So the fascists have been voted out of office. It is no longer illegal to talk about election tampering because the real Patriots have been voted in, so we can talk about it. I'm just playing. I saw a meme that was like, I'm for whatever. I'm for whatever's against what you are for when it comes to politics. I'm like, that describes me perfectly. I'm not for or against either one. Two sides of the same coin, two wings of the same bird. Anyway, we can talk about this. In 2016, Trump lost. No, Trump won. Excuse me. Trump won. There was, I don't know the numbers. Hold on.
Oh.
I do have it on my phone.
Thomas, you're going to step in.
Back so there was like 65 million Democrat voters the first time Trump ran, right? When he ran against Biden, a surplus of 15 to 20 million votes dropped for the Democrats. And then in 2024, it was back down to 65 million. So now everybody's like zooming in onto that Biden election, like, where did those 20 million votes come from? Crazy, right? Crazy. And then in the Wisconsin vote this year, we saw that same scale where if you look at the graph over time of ballots for each candidate, they kind of go in this linear motion like this. And then about 3 a.m., Trump's goes up, the Democrats goes straight up and past him. And then it takes over. That's what happened in Wisconsin. It is clearly due to election tampering. It's when they just drop a whole sum of ballots for one candidate. That same bar graph design where they go up together and then the Democrats goes straight and then overtakes Trump. That is the same motion that the graph took in the 2020 election. It is the same symbol that those voting machines use as their like brand symbol, so their brand image. So really sketchy. And then on top of that, and I'm gonna throw this out there for Scotty Too Hottie, because I know we want to keep it fair and balanced. I think it's weird that Elon Musk was able to devise an app on his own, a personal use app, not commercially available. And then he bragged about it to Joe Rogan, who bragged about it on his podcast. That he was able to determine the election results 3 hours before it was released. Come on. Like, that's a little weird. Am I right? That he has that power and authority to get that information? Come on. Like, I don't think either one of us, even if we had the know-how to make an app, could make an app to do that. You know, you got to be able to be getting some information from somewhere that's not readily available to the public. So a lot of weird shit with this election.
But is it though, really?
I'm not even going to start with the Trump Freemasonry 33 symbolism throughout this whole thing. I'm not even going to go there. We don't have the time.
Don't have the time. What I will say is that if you do play the stock market, and we're not talking 401k, we're talking stocks. And if you follow cryptocurrency over the last couple of years, I was going to save this for the shout out, but back when cryptocurrency kind of dropped around 2013, 2014, there was this company called Ripple that popped up. Their call tags, their XRP. You could not give that stuff away. It was like 6 cents a share, 12 cents a share was their high. A buddy of mine and I bought that at like 12 cents a share. That stuff, since they mentioned it the other day, is now over a dollar. It is unbelievable how all they have to do is just mention certain things like Dogecoin or XRP, and it goes through the roof. So if you're a casual player of the stock market and you are dabbling in cryptocurrency, get on that before it goes through the roof. Because something that was 12 cents a couple years ago, they're saying it could go up over hundreds of dollars for it. So get in on the ground floor. That's my advice. I'm throwing it out there during the conspiracy theory, because it's up to you to buy it, but that you can get rich off of that stuff. And Bitcoin, the day after Trump got into office, it went from, I want to say, under $60 a coin to over $90 a coin. I mean, and if people bought that way back in the day, people became millionaires overnight with that spike. So keep an eye on that cryptocurrency. That's my advice during this tinfoil hat. Whether you're into it or not, that's something to keep an eye on. Bradford, anything else?
Yeah, man. I mean, this whole election was just is just about as rigged as this Jake Paul Mike Tyson fight, man. Like, from the getting shot in the ear, like, was that real? I don't know, man. I mean, there's so many weird things that went down this year that I don't know if any person can look at it and not have just a mountain of questions, man. Like, you cannot sit here and say this was a legit election where the president announces he was going to be the incumbent running for office and then gets forced out. And then somebody steps in that nobody could even vote for, and everybody was okay with that. Like, that's weird to me. And so everything about this election, this will go down in history as one of the oddest, most strange elections of our lifetimes, man. And oh, fuck, man, I don't know what to say about it. I'm not political. I just look for all the nuances and the weird shit and the coincidences, man. That's what I look for in it, man.
Let's start watching The Simpsons again.
Yeah, absolutely. It's weird, man.
So speaking of the Simpsons conspiracy theory, one of the things that they had put on, you'll blink if you missed it type of thing, and I saw it a couple times already, they said that the 2028 election would be the next one. The winner, Trump's daughter. Imagine that.
And that crazy? Happens.
Mind blown, right?
Yep.
So Thomas, want to add anything to the tinfoil hat this week?
I got nothing. I am non-political, but I'll just say they're all dirty, so that's why I stay out of politics.
Same bird, baby. Same bird.
Yeah, I always thought that it's so weird how they want everybody divided. You know, wouldn't you think in a perfect world you want everybody on the same boat, on two different boats? You know, it's just the basic looking at it from, you know, a thinking man's mindset, how you would want everything divided. I know it's easier to control like that, but if you genuinely were a good person, you would want everybody on the same team, right? You wouldn't want everybody, you know, you're over here and you're over here. It's just divide and conquer, right? That's the saying.
It goes back to the John Lennon Imagine song.
Yep.
But also, it's weird that everybody that was caught up on the Diddy tapes came out and had to give these like forced statements for Kamala Harris. And then it came out that Beyonce, when she got up there, she was like crying and give this emotional speech about voting for Democrats, got paid $10 million for a 3-minute speech.
Yeah. And there's all
bananas.
Kinds of stuff with people were all over the J-Lo thing too, right? She didn't want anybody to stay away from Diddy, but she's up there trying to say how bad Trump is and all this other stuff. You can't tell me that they don't have any skins in that game if Harris won, right?
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
And then the other thing that came out too this week, I don't know if you saw it, Brad, was they were analyzing the phone calls from jail from P. Diddy with some of the things where you hide the pizza boxes and all that
I've heard
stuff.
That. Yep.
Oh, crazy, right? If you if you think about it in a deep dive, what that could mean, different things, just terrible stuff.
It's
terrible
Pizzagate stuff, all right? Over again.
Oh,
and people still denying that shit. But it's just like what's that? It escapes my mind right now, man. But that secret meeting place in is it California, Reno?
Bohemian Grove.
Bohemian Grove. Yeah, I'm like, all these mugs, all these politicians, Trump, all of them, Obama, all of them. Guess where they go hang out?
Right.
Bohemian Grove every year. You think they're not all connected, under the table, doing deals, hooking each other up with shit? Come on, man. It's Trump's time. That's all it is. Tell me why he loses to Biden, but anytime he runs against a female candidate, he's 2-0.
Yep.
Like, come on, man.
Yeah. It makes you wonder.
Bohemian Grove is a Playboy, like, men's only club. That's why. Hillary and Kamala Harris don't go to Bohemian Grove. They're not allowed. It is men only. That's why. It's a boys' club. They're never going to make it.
Yep. Just so many ways for conspiracy theories to branch off of that one thing, Brad. It could go on for quite a while. And there's the whole pizza thing is kind of, to me, out of all the conspiracy theories, that's the one that I do not want to be true. Because if it is, all that stuff that they're involved in, it's heartbreaking. You know, if you're a parent or you have a soft spot for kids or whatever, allegedly that stuff is just not in the playbook that I want to be a reality. I'd rather see the alien thing be true and the assassination things come out with JFK and all that other stuff. But that other, if that's a real thing, I don't even have, you know, a response for any of that stuff. It's terrible. But hopefully eventually all that stuff will be put to, you know, put the old ass kick into the woodshed for some of that stuff, hopefully. So for another time, I guess, right? For another time. So I guess we'll wrap up this week. And, you know, it's usually we hit our hour mark and bring it all in. I'll start with this week's shout out. So I was going to talk about that XRP thing, but I got that in. My shout out was, I was appalled at a hockey game this week. Just happened recently, tonight, let me say today. We rushed to go from one rink to another, got there in time to start to play the other game. Third period, the game's getting tight. The kids were losing by two goals all of a sudden, and it's in a ladies' game. Fight breaks out. I'm like, oh, this is interesting. Right up my alley. I love this stuff. Big melee. Coach calls all the girls. There's about 3-4 minutes left in the game, enough to make the push. They leave, they get off the ice, and they're done. They left with clock still running and everything.
Oh,
just
shit.
What my point being is, you got to teach good values. You can't just pick up your ball and go home where you don't like the atmosphere that's going on. I had never seen that before in a game, and I'm kind of taken aback by that. So it's not so much of a shout out, it's more of a grind my gears, as Tom would say. It's just not a good look. You sports, I don't care if it's ladies, men, you got to fight through it. If you don't like the playing field, you got to finish the game. You got to finish the game no matter what. So that's my two and two this week. So
the team that left was the winning, was it the team that was winning or the team that was losing?
Team that was losing.
Oh,
terrible. And it was the team that my kid was on. So I was like, I was like, you got to be shitting me. I rushed all the way here for this nonsense. But Ed, you're next.
Well, I guess I'm going to piggyback on your shout out. Well, first and foremost, why are they fighting in a game at that age? Like, it does nothing. It serves no purpose. They're not even attack each other at this point, right? I mean, so there's that. So, I mean, like, and the thing about it is just that, well, where are the referees? I mean, you know, I mean, how, you know, how goonish can it be? You know, I mean, we're not talking, it's, you know, we're talking about this, you know, we're not talking about the Charlestown Chiefs or anything like that. It's just poor sportsmanship, you know. I mean, I've been part of that a couple times myself when I was coaching many, many moons ago. And and I was not happy with what I had to be part of, and it's, you know, there's no part in sports for that. Sports is about teaching life lessons, about kind of gritting it out, and you know, sometimes you got to take your lumps, and a lot of times you learn a lot more from losing than you do from winning. So there's that whole piece too, and you know, you got to finish the game, unless there's a big catastrophe of somebody you know, passing away on the field, like, you know, or something like that. Got to finish the game, or somebody's severely injured, you know? So that's my take on it.
Bradford, what do you got this week?
Well, you brought that up, man. I'm coaching, or assistant coaching, 9U soccer right now, and it's the same thing, dude. You know, there's a difference in being competitive and pushing and shoving, being physical out there on the soccer field. And then, you know, we got this one boy today on the other team who was straight up like talking shit and throwing elbows. And at one point they were on our sideline getting ready for, you know, one of them little throw. I don't know soccer. I don't watch soccer. I just volunteered because if I didn't, we wouldn't have a team. But we're about to throw it in. And this blonde haired dude went up to the smallest, most timid, shy boy on our team. And was giving him the business, talking about, you better stop pushing me, I'm gonna this and that. I was like, boy. I mean, I snapped him up quick, and he looked at me like he had just seen a ghost. And you could tell, like, he's not getting that shit at home, man. This little blonde-haired, curly-haired little fuck, dude, I'm telling you. He was causing all kinds of mischief out on the soccer field. And after the game, the boys came up to me, and they're like, hey, coach, this was going down on the soccer field. And I'm like, shit, man. Like, I'm sorry y'all had to go through that, but we're not going to do that. You know what I mean? Like, so I think on Thursday at a practice, I'm going to have everybody sit down and take a knee and be like, because this is like the third game this has happened. So I'm like, y'all aren't going to stoop to that level. They're going to spit on you, punch you, kick you, push you down. There's contact in soccer, but like, we're not going to start talking that shit, because like, I'm trying to teach them to be good sports no matter what. Like, take the high road, man. So
Bradford, have you watched Ted Lasso?
No, I generally ignore everything that has to do with soccer. So
well, Nope, you will like the concept of this. He's a college football coach that they hire him to go coach a soccer team. You gotta watch it. It's a very good series. Put that one
Sounds
on the
cool. I'll
put that
probably
one
just
in
go
the
watch Rogue One again.
Oh. We're right back to that. Thomas, save us again.
Let me see. I want to give a shout out to my godson, the Phantom's oldest. I guess I'll call him a man child. He's been on a 4 week heater. We're in a pick and pull, an NFL pick and pull, and he's been on like a 4 week heater, and he's built himself a nice lead right now. And he's showing up all the old timers in it. So I want to say good job, man. Keep it up. You still got a half a season left.
I think he's stealing Brad's picks.
Phantom, you're going to finish this podcast for us.
All right. I think, I'm going to shout out a special person, Scott Stapp. This man is unbelievable, a difference maker. He is bringing the passion out of people 20 years after. You got to love him for it. And he did a great halftime show for the Cowboys at one point in his life.
Have you guys done the Creed drinking game? You
I thought we did it tonight.
play the music video with arms wide open. Every time Scott Stapp goes like this, you take a shot. There's one scene he pulls himself up from the river and they both go like this.
Oh.
You'll be wasted by the end. You'll be wasted by the end of the video.
Wow.
It's a lot of this going on.
Should we finish it with "When you are with me"?
Let's
I'm free.
go.
That's it.